My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
No calls, no sales. I don't have a sales team. I don't get on 20-minute calls. I close $7,500 to $20,000 products with a link in the DM.
If you're trying to build your wealth and you're only thinking about your money, you're going about it completely wrong. You see, you need to focus on a balance of things to get them to all grow faster. Now, the financial capital, the money, is actually the least important. What's more important? Relationship capital. This is the people that I know, and it's not who you know, it's who knows you. It's the mental capital that I have and the ability to have energy and clear thoughts. Those are the things, relationship capital, mental capital, are the things that give me the financial capital. And that's the topics we're going to be going through with my next guest. I'm talking about Colin Yerskine. He's somebody that has completely transformed his life by building into those two things, relationship capital and mental capital, and now has achieved massive financial capital. He went from being a cubicle slave working 9 to 5, knocking on doors, to now living the life that he wants through a few strategic moves. And he's going to walk us through the exact process that he's done to achieve this in a record amount of time. And you can do the same thing. All right, Colin. Pleasure. I'm so happy that you came in to the studio.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I love hanging out and talking to you. Let's start from the beginning. Market disruptors, we're talking about like disrupting markets. You're certainly doing that. You're going down the unconventional path to building wealth, helping others. I like to think about the big legacy institutions we're disrupting, and so health, media, finance, education, all those, and you're sort of doing a lot of that, but you had started down the traditional path.
Yeah.
So you had a job, you were I think a cubicle slave. Oh, yeah. At one point.
Yep.
You were probably taught that the path to success was go to school, get good grades, get a good job, save for retirement.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe one day when you're old, maybe you might be able to enjoy your life.
Yep.
And you were going down that path, and then you realized that wasn't the path for you. Give us a story on that.
Yeah, man, everything got disrupted, and I'm so thankful it did. But basically, I grew up in this environment. It was basically everyone had a 401k. Everyone, the pinnacle was working on Wall Street. That was kind of like where I was from. If you made it, you worked for a bank. You worked in New York City. All my dad's friends that did very well, they would commute to the city, commute home, and they'd go on a couple vacations a year. And that's what he wanted me to get to. And so the entire time throughout high school, my dad was always saying, you got to get good grades so we can get you into one of these top business schools. Cause my dad never did business.
Okay.
So my dad only made it to communications. And he said, if he would have had that business degree, maybe got the master's, then he would have been able to make more money. Right. That was like his, I guess, you know, limiting belief.
Was so right the path there. For him, the path to success was getting more education and more degrees.
Correct. Yeah. There was not one entrepreneur in my family. So this is totally unheard of. You know, my dad had heard of people doing real estate, but it was so foreign. He never went to a seminar, never learned about it. And anyone in his family, you know, they never pushed him to, hey, go learn about this, you know, invest money. No one did that stuff. So I, you know, thought my dad knew everything, right? When you're a kid, you're like, oh, my parents know exactly what's best for me. And they're just doing as best they can with what they have, right?
And so, they're repeating the program that they've been told their whole life.
Correct. And so I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to listen to people that, you know, didn't have what I want. Like, I didn't want any of that, but I thought my dad really knew what was best for me.
Yeah.
So I went to University of Arizona. I didn't get the best grade, so I couldn't really go anywhere other than, you know, big college football places, but they were still D1. They had a business school. So I go there. I missed the business school by like a half a point for the test. I didn't get in on the first try. So I had to apply again, and I got in the second time around. So I was very excited about that. I picked business management as my degree. And yeah, I basically got by with B's, right? I got a 3.0 in my business degree, and I graduated. And the first job that was presented to me was ADP. So it was like selling payroll. I'm sure you use ADP for your business.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to be the guy, you know, basically going around to businesses, accountants, bankers, trying to build relationships and get people on payroll, health insurance, all that stuff. So for, I think maybe 2 months, I worked hard at it. I was like, all right, like, this is going to be fine. I can get commission. I can work my way up the ladder. I saw the people that were making all the money. They were driving BMWs. I was like, all right, like, I can do this. I'm very sociable. I'm a personable person. I'm going to work hard at this. Within 2 months, I was just like drained. I had zero passion. I had to wake up, put clothes on that I didn't want to wear.
Yeah.
I had to get my little satchel with my work computer, drive my Volkswagen Passat over that I couldn't even afford at the time. And it just felt like this doom loop that was just never ending. And I realized very quickly that no one was coming to save me.
Yeah.
Like, no one was going to change anything about it. And from the outside looking in, my parents, my grandma, everyone in my family was putting me on a pedestal. Colin made it. Colin got a degree.
Oh, yeah.
Colin's got his 401k set up. He's in a high paying job. He's going to do 55K this year in his first year out of college. Like, yeah. It was
baller.
And everyone's praising me, and I feel like I'm dying inside. So, you know, and everyone in my—
Did you feel like you were dying inside because you didn't enjoy your day-to-day grind, or because you saw the path you were on was not going to take you where you wanted to go? At the time, it just was you weren't happy with your day-to-day.
Well, right? I believe that I had seen a lot in college of, you know, I guess the quote unquote rich life. I had a lot of kids at University of Arizona who came from very rich families, you know, in Chicago, you know, Newport Beach, for example. And I was friends with all these kids.
Yeah.
So I'd go on vacations with them on a winter break. I'd go to their beach houses, their vacation homes. And I knew that what I was in was not going to get any of that.
Got it.
So I quickly realized that if I wanted to change and I wanted to have this kind of lifestyle, this was not the vehicle to get it. And I kind of realized that, holy shit, like, for the past 4.5 years, I have signed up for this life, and now I don't want to be here. I need to change it immediately. And so the thing that you have to do when you realize this, and no one else around you is thinking like this, is you have to be the light.
Yeah.
You have to be the change. You're looking around for answers, and you realize you are the answer.
But how hard is that when your family and your friends are saying, no, 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 this is the path?
It's extremely hard. But you know, you get to the point where the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain to change, and then you change.
Yeah.
And that's all it took for me. So at the time, I mean, I was very into partying, right? And I was looking for any quick fix on my emotions. So I was basically a dopamine addict. I was going out on the weekends whenever I could. I was trying to forget about my miserable life that I was signed up for and living. And eventually I went out one night and I actually got drugged. I got drugged. I don't remember what happened. I woke up in some random person's house. I had a shoe missing. My shirt was ripped. And I ran out of that house. And as I check my phone, it has like 1% battery. My account is overdrawn. And so I'm at complete rock bottom at this point. I get back to the apartment and I look at myself in the mirror and I have a lump on my head. I literally had no idea what happened over the past 24 hours.
Yeah.
And no money. I have to call my mom to send me a Zelle to get my bank off of negative $35. And then I have
probably from an overdraft.
Overdraft fee. Of course, I have to call the bank, get that reverse. And I'm 23 years old at this point. And I'm like, I can't live like this anymore. And that was the moment where everything changed. The pain of staying at that point was too great. And I needed to at least try to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
So that moment forward, I made a promise to myself. I was done going out on the weekends and I was going to do everything in my power to build a skill and get out of my current situation. Hmm. And so from that moment on, I started.
Let's stop there for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the path, but I remember I went on a little bit of a different path. I didn't go to college. I only ever had one job, and I started working for my friend's dad's company where there's like four people there. And it was like this little engineering company. That was my senior year in high school. And then it turned, as soon as I graduated, I just kept working there full time. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I remember it started growing. They developed this product and it got bought out and it got bigger, bigger, bigger. And I remember thinking, this is what the rest of my life looks like. Every day I show up here, I work for 8 hours. And I remember like at that time being 18 years old, just going, wow, so this is what it's like. Then as the company grew, like I said, it got bought out multiple times. Now it's like a publicly traded company that I'm working in. And I remember looking at the CEO of the business, and he's some Ivy League grad, CEO of a publicly traded company, a medical company. And he's making, I forget at the time, it was like 250 grand a year. And I was like, so that's the top.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I won't even be able to get there because I didn't go to an Ivy League college. So like, even if I could, but that's the limit for me. So it was like the combination of like, dang, this is what the rest of my life looks like. I don't like that. And that's my ceiling. And those were kind of two things for me. But for you, it was rock bottom. So, okay, so you hit rock bottom, you have the job, you're ready to change your life. Like, how do you do that? Like, so, you have to sort of unlearn everything you've learned.
For sure. So you first have to realize that everything is temporary in life. Everything's always changing. So you can't be so hard on yourself that you're in a job. It's like, okay, let's at least admit everything fucking sucks right now, but we are going to work to change it. So I basically had to confront myself that like, okay, I'm going to accept where I'm at in my life so I can work to actually change it and get somewhere that I do enjoy. So from that point on, I basically just stopped going out on the weekends and I replaced that with personal development. From that point on, I had never read a book in my life. I read, you know, the school books they assigned to us, in class and stuff, but I didn't really pay attention. Personal development had never taken place at all. So first books, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
The number one book.
Everyone should read it. And that just taught me, wow, sales. Like, this is sales. Then I learned Think and Grow Rich. I took that one.
That was the first book for me. Think and Grow Rich is the one that just sent me like
those
this.
Two. And I read them cover to cover. All of a sudden, I just had that drive to get out. So I was actually able to have enough motivation to sit through an entire book and retain the information and put it to use right away. I finally had a fire under my ass, So, and then Rich Dad, Poor Dad to learn how money worked and, debt is important, credit's important. So just by reading those books, that lit a fire under my ass. And I was like, okay, now I need to do what everyone else that's successful is doing, which is this online thing. I was watching Grant Cardone.
What year was this?
This was 2019.
Okay.
Yep. So this is about probably within a month of that moment happening where I got drugged. Everything started to change very rapidly. Spent way more time at the gym, personal development, and on the weekends I wasn't going out anymore. So I was just spending a lot of time alone learning, really who I was, and I was trying to build a relationship with myself. And the most important thing that happened after, the next catalyst I would say, is I read a book called Crush It by Gary Vee.
Yep.
This book teaches you how to build a personal brand. And this was written in 2008 before Instagram was even a thing.
Yep.
He predicted the entire personal brand movement that was about to take place. So I read this book and one line that stuck with me forever, I say it almost every day, is if you don't know what your brand is, document your journey and your journey will become your brand. And that literally gave me the chills. And so from that moment on, as I was venturing into personal development and different businesses online, I took my Instagram out and I started to document. So, most people when they build brands, because I teach personal branding today, I go, bro, what kind of pictures do you have from when you first started out? I don't have shit, man. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And if people would just document all the things that they don't want to show in the beginning when you know, have the 50K in debt, you got the overdraft fees. If you're just taking screenshots of this,
yeah.
This becomes ammunition yeah. for your brand. As you know, we were just talking about this.
I know. I wish I had a lot of pictures. I was thinking today, like, man, a couple of these companies I built and sold, I wish I had pictures of those businesses that I had. Or yep. when I lost everything and I had to start over, I wish I had a picture of that house or whatever.
Right.
But I don't. I don't have any of that. Now, part of that's because a lot of that was pre-iPhone.
Yeah.
We weren't able to snap pictures of everything, but yep. anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so basically from that point on, I just started to document the businesses that I started to dabble in. So the first one was, okay, I used to do YouTube back in 2008. I would film my skateboarding videos, I'd throw edits together, and I'd put them out, and I had a passion for that. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try filming again, doing photography on the weekends. I'd reach out to people at my job, we'd set up photo shoots on the weekend, they'd pay me $50.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it got to the point where I was like, okay, now I'm gonna make videos for people, promotions for clothing companies. So I started doing little odd jobs like that. Then I created a clothing company with someone I met at work. That failed. Then I wanted to do wholesale real estate was big in Scottsdale. People knocking doors on the weekends, trying to flip contracts of homes. I knocked on 100 doors every single day for 2 weeks, never got one. But through all this, I was documenting. So every single day I'd get my car to go knock doors. I'd have my little lunchbox. I'd be filming to wow. Instagram everyone. Guys, today we're going to go knock 100 doors. It's hot out, but we don't care. We're going to grind.
What a legend doing that.
I have all these people, man, from my job, my friends, right? Fraternity brothers. Oh, dude, what are you doing? You're a joke, right? And yeah. So just from watching Gary Vaynerchuk and really believing in what he was saying, I could see it all kind of taking place in the future of me just building and hitting the pavement every day. And that journey and those hardships cementing my spot, you know, in this personal brand world. And that's really what happened. And slowly but surely, through these business failures, people started to watch and comment and engage. The biggest thing that happened during that time is I failed at all five of those businesses, right? And then I did an ATM business that failed too. I collected about $50,000 worth of debt during this time. Personal loan I had out for 20 grand. I had 20K of student loans, and then I had $10,000 in credit cards. All of it was defaulting. I wasn't making the payments. I wasn't making enough for my job. And I was spending all the money just trying to get successful.
So you were doing all this on the side while you were still
all
working?
All this on the side while okay. still working. The moment I realized that all of my time was being sucked away from me, anytime I went to work, I was unmotivated when I got home. I had no energy at the gym. I was like, you know what? If I just took away the job and took a bet on myself and put every waking hour into trying to make this business stuff work, I think I'd have a much greater chance than if, you know, trying to do both at the same time. So I quit my job, $50,000 in debt. And I liquidated.
Just so you can go all in.
Just so I could go all in.
Burn the boat.
Yes, exactly. And I was reading so many books at this time. Gary Vaynerchuk on the way to work every day is talking about quitting your job, trying it. If anything happens, you can always go back to a job.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. Didn't tell my parents. Didn't tell anyone. Quit my job. And I'll never forget. I'm driving out of my work. Once again, documenting the journey. And I'm just screaming, fuck you, 9 to 5 on Snapchat, and I have it saved forever. So I post it all the time.
Yeah.
And I knew that moment was going to be something that I could always look back at and remember and be like, this is the day everything changed.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're placing a live bet on yourself for everyone to see. So the fire under you is yeah. just like, I cannot lose.
Building in public.
Because everyone sees. So if I go back to work now, like I'm actually a failure. Yeah. So basically what happened over the next few months here was my credit got wrecked from trying all these businesses. So from Rich Dad Poor Dad, I realized, oh my gosh, I need debt, right? I need access to credit to get real estate, to get credit cards, to get points, to travel. This is very important. So I locked into YouTube. I went down the credit rabbit hole. I learned about the Fair Credit Reporting Act. I learned about consumer protection laws in the US. And I was like, wait a second. I can actually fix my credit by sending out dispute letters. And if these bureaus and creditors cannot prove that it's mine, it has to be removed by law. So for the next couple of weeks, I was documenting myself, hand in my letters that I just wrote. You know, I typed them up on Word and I'd literally print them out. I'd send an Instagram story. I'd say, hey, these letters are going out for Equifax, TransUnion, Experian today. I'll let you guys know what happens. Over the next couple of weeks, I was able to get my collection removed from the loan I took out, $20,000 wiped. Wow. They couldn't prove it was mine because there was an inconsistency with the filing and they couldn't get the document to prove it. So they had to remove it.
Yeah.
Got that removed. I got two credit cards removed and my student loans, I just got back in the positive. I was able to start making the monthly payments. So my credit went from a 600 to a 730 and this was all documented. So people literally saw from one day I was literally a failure to the next day, guys, I fixed everything. So like you and Jeff were just talking about, my audience began to tell me exactly what I needed to provide to them. Yeah. I fixed a problem in real time for myself that everyone else needed help with.
Yep.
So it was very simple. It felt so natural. Everyone was just like, Colin, can you help me with that? Colin, how do I, what five credit cards do I get? How do I send out a credit dispute letter? And so I was just like, okay, maybe I can start branding myself around this stuff. So all I did was I just started making little short form videos around credit and credit repair for the next month. And these videos started getting hundreds of shares through my audience. You go in the analytics, you could see all the comments, all the shares. And compared to my other posts, it was night and day. So I was like, wow, this credit thing, I think this could really be something here. So I actually went all in on the credit stuff. I stopped with the real estate, I stopped with the ATMs, any other business. I just resigned and I went full in on credit. And you know, within that month period, I designed a Instagram page called Credit Class. It was a private Instagram. I didn't know how to make a course, didn't know how to run ads. I just knew I had something valuable.
Yeah.
And so I put it on private. And I would promote on my main page. I'd say, hey guys, I created a page called Credit Class. I'm gonna teach you how to leverage credit, build income, and travel the world for free. And everyone's like, bro, how do I get in? Black Friday was coming up. I'm like, everyone makes money on Black Friday. Maybe I'll launch it on that date. So I just, Black Friday was coming up. I had 1 week to promote. And every single day I would kind of give out the tips, but leave out that last golden nugget that they needed to really get the sauce.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, it's all going to be in Credit Class. Launching Black Friday, 25 spots only, $250. And I said like half off from 500.
Yeah.
I launched it on that day. And within 24 hours, I made $6,500 profit, zero overhead off a private Instagram page.
Yeah.
And I had just quit my job. So that was in November of 2019. I quit in August. So this was about 5.5 months later. I had my first successful business hit.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I made it a goal that January, my lease was up. I was going to leave Scottsdale and take a one-way trip to Bali and go all in on content around credit, traveling the world for free, helping people with points, helping people get access to capital. And that's when everything changed.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. But I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
A lot to unpack there. So first of all, what's interesting is that I've often thought that one of the biggest things that holds people back, specifically people that have gone up the traditional path of go to school, get a good job, et cetera, and you were there, maybe because you weren't there for too long. But like once you start trading time for money, it seems it's very hard for people, most people, to think about working for free. You were working for free in all these side businesses. You were knocking doors. You didn't make any money. Yeah. You quit your job and you were working for free, hoping one day you would make money. That's what we do as entrepreneurs. Yeah. I could work on something for months and maybe hopefully I'll get money. But yeah, it seems most people can't. No, I'm not getting paid. Why would I work, right? Yeah. That seems to be a big thing holding people back. One, I guess, would you agree? And two, that didn't seem to hold you back. Did you have something to overcome it, or that just didn't hold you back?
I believe there's a quote that says the moment you take a paycheck is the moment you become a hamster on a wheel. Like, that is the trap. And so I realized that everyone that was taking paychecks were people that were living lives that I didn't want to live. And all the people that were living the lives I wanted to live were entrepreneurs and created their own opportunity.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just got to create my own opportunity. And there's no limit on how much money you can make when you go that route. Yeah, it could take 5 years to get your first paycheck on your own. But once you get it and you catch momentum and you have an edge on a market and you find product market fit, I mean, there's no stopping for how far you could go. So yeah, for me, that I just knew that I needed to go until I could find some way to make money on my own. But that is definitely the biggest thing stopping people. And yeah, some people just aren't made for that. Like, I'm a high risk taker. I've always have been. Yeah. I love roller coasters, skateboarding,
yeah,
surfing, right? All of that stuff, snowboarding. And so I think that entrepreneurship just kind of filled in perfectly into my kind of risk appetite and personality.
Yeah.
And so for me, as soon as I quit my job and had 24 hours a day to focus on this, I was like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I just had so much confidence in making it.
Yeah.
It was delusional. People were like, bro, you are crazy. 50 grand a debt. You're posting on Instagram that you're broke. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You just threw away your 4-year college degree. You had everything lined up. My dad didn't want to talk to me for a couple of weeks. Wow. It was insane. But for me, it was just like, I know everything I'm doing is right and it's going to work out. So it's a lot of self-love and confidence, and you can only gain that by spending time alone with yourself and really figuring out who you are as a person.
Yeah. One thing I would also, I just want to bring attention to is, you said, you mentioned Jeff earlier. We just was interviewing Jeff Seckinger. That interview is coming out as well.
Yeah.
But we went through his story as well. And his story was very similar to your story, which is actually very similar to my story.
Yeah.
Where he spent many years in personal development and figuring out what his core values are and what his vision was.
Yeah.
And I did the same. I spent like 10 years. I was a junkie. I still kind of am. I love personal development.
Yeah.
And you also obviously have the same path. I think about, I call it the game of money. I'm actually writing a whole series on money, master the game. And most people don't understand the game that we're actually playing. Yep. And how wealth works and things like that. But if you think about life being a game and we're the character of the game. And if I was playing video games, which I've never been a video gamer, but like Mario Kart, for example, I'd take my cart to the shop and I could add new tires or better suspension or better motors. If I was a player character, I could maybe run faster. I could jump higher, right? Things like that. And that's what personal development does for us.
Yep.
It allows us to think faster, have better, decision-making abilities, things like that. And so no wonder that Jeff had the same story. I have the same story. You have the same story as well. Yep. And I know, from as long as I've known you, you came into my world through my coaching program, Inside Line, but you have been chasing knowledge. So one, you've recognized that personal development is the key to bettering your character so you can up-level the game,
yep,
get to the next level in the game.
Yep.
And two, you've also been a massive investor, not just into financial assets, but into yourself.
Oh yeah.
So you, almost more than anybody I know, spend a lot of money for connections, relationships, and information.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
you will never succeed your level of personal development in life. So I realized, once, and I've had little spots where I'm like, all right, I'm good. I spent like, 50 grand this year on myself. I bought courses, bought a couple mentorships. I think I'm good for the next year, 2 years at least. And you just realize, like, once you're on this constant pursuit of growth and getting 1% better, the moment you stop, you feel like you're dying inside. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a sick addiction. It doesn't stop. And so for me, I just realized now that I always will have to invest in, like, if you don't change, nothing's going to change. So if I spend the same amount of money next year as I did last year, and I invest the same amount in personal development, I'll be at the same level. Yeah. So I always have to one up it, whether that's, you know, getting a different trainer, doing a different diet, getting another mentorship like yours. You know, I always spend money on myself, and it's always the best return on investment.
Yeah. The master becoming the student. Now I'm learning from you, and I'm launching a 1-day mastermind similar to what you're doing.
Yeah.
I just launched it. I was selling masterminds for $60,000. Now this is a 1-day deal. It's $3,000.
Sure.
And seeing some of the comments that came in, someone hit me up today. He's like, oh man, I don't know if I can spend $3,000 on this.
Yeah.
And I just DM'd him back and I said, then don't.
Yeah.
Like, certainly don't do it. Like, sure. This isn't for people that can't really part with $3,000. This is for people that have assets that want to grow them. Yep. And so if that's you, then it's just not for you, you know? And then I don't know if he took offense, but he kind of replied back. He's like, I have the money. Yeah. I just don't want to, I can't think about spending it. And I'm like, then great. Then you're not my candidate, right? Yeah. This is for people who understand that new connections, new information can change their life.
Yeah.
And there's no reason, you know, at the level that we operate. So for everybody listening, yesterday, we were both at an event from Carlton, Tax Alchemy. It's a mastermind event that he throws. People spend a lot of money to get into that program.
Yeah.
People spend a lot of money to get in that program. And there's a lot of high-level entrepreneurs there. And you know as well as I do that all these other high-level entrepreneurs we know, they're in multiple coaching programs at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And what I notice is the people that spend the most amount of money make the most amount of money.
100%.
There's a girl, shout out to Invest Diva, Kiana Danielle. Years ago, we were at Funnel Hacking Live, Russell Brunson's event.
Yep.
And this is, I want to say 2017 or maybe it was 2018. And she was new. She had just come in. And she just kind of walked up to this group of guys. We're all talking. And she's like, oh, I wrote this book on cryptocurrency. It was Cryptocurrency Investing for Dummies. It's like a dummies book. Like, oh, talk to this guy, Mark. So then we kind of matched up and we kind of became friends. And we kind of had this path growing together. And she just couldn't seem to get it figured out. I've been doing marketing for a while. So I was like much further ahead than her.
Yeah.
And she just couldn't seem to get it figured out. And I kept helping her. And, you know, I liked her. We're friends, whatever. And I remember maybe it was the next year, the year after at Funnel Hacking Live, Russell Brunson launched his Two Comma Club X coaching program.
Yeah.
$30,000 program. Mm. And she joined it. I'm like, why would you join that? Mm. Come on. What do these coaches know? Yeah. They don't know anything. You know, like I can help you, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and anyway, she joined that. She then moved on to join Russell Brunson's Inner Circle program. Uh-huh. She then moved up to join his Category Kings program. Okay. And now she's like multiple 8 figures and she's absolutely crushing it. It's completely outpaced me.
Wow.
And she's in Myron Golden's program. She's in Tony Robbins' program. Wow. She's in like, and she's spending all this money, but she's like way excelled past me.
Yep.
And you can just see the direct correlation there. It's pretty impressive.
You have to invest with enough size and enough conviction in anything you invest in to really make it. You know, when it comes to myself, instead of investing $5,000, I went, all right, $50,000 mastermind. Sure. One swipe on my credit card. Let's go. I got all my return and more out of yours that I joined. Then the next one, okay, there's a $20,000 mastermind. Let's do it. Oh, I got to travel halfway across the world to get to the event. No problem, right? And you just grow this confidence when you start doing this and you realize that every single time you do it, yeah, it's scary putting $50,000 on a card. But after you've seen it work multiple times, you're just like, I'm good. I know it. And so now it's, you know, scared money don't make money.
Yeah.
And so I'm always just pushing it to the next level every time, even in crypto, even in investing in courses, whatever I invest in, I go all in. And like, it goes back to shit. If I could do this with $0 minus $50,000 and make the bet I did on myself and it paid off this big, now with resources, capital, and a network, this is like a joke to me. Like, I've been at the bottom of the barrel. Like, this just feels like a game at this point.
All right, I want to take a break real quick just to let you know that if you're sick of the global elites robbing you blind through frivolous money printing like I am, then you should be at the Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville, Tennessee, July 25th through 27th. It's the largest Bitcoin gathering fintech conference in the world. In 2024, Bitcoin stands as a beacon of monetary freedom, a glimmer of hope amongst a darkening macroeconomic backdrop. Come hang out with me and other top speakers, companies, thought leaders from across the industry. We'll all be in Nashville looking ahead to the next year and beyond. Now, ticket prices are on sale right now, and you can get an extra 10% off if you use my code MARKMOSS. But make sure you secure your spot right now. It's going to sell out and ticket prices go up over time. Use Mark Moss for a 10% off discount. And if you do, send me your code that you used my code to buy your ticket. And I'm going to invite you to a special event that I'm having. So make sure you get your ticket, Bitcoin 2024. Use Mark Moss for 10% off. And I hope to see you there.
So you know, Alex Hormozi talks about there's no way to get confidence, like you build confidence.
Yeah.
And so like there's any number of courses out there that give you confidence to go talk to girls, for example.
Yeah.
But you can't get confidence by a course. You only get it from doing and proving to yourself that you can do these types of things. I've been in this type of environment before. I've bet on myself, I've won. I've been in heavy surf. I've lost my board deep way out in the ocean with 15-foot swells and I've survived. Yep. So I feel pretty confident that I could do it again, right? Yep. But you only get there from having done that. And I've lost my money. I've had to rebuild it. I'm pretty confident I can do that again.
For sure.
One thing you've done though is that, so just like Jeff and just like myself, we started service-based businesses.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are stuck in this now paralysis. I need $1 million and I don't have $1 million. So I can't start a business or whatever that number is, $10,000, whatever that number is. Yeah. So I can't do anything because I don't have any money. But like we can all start a service-based business.
Oh, yeah.
So what problem have I solved for myself?
Yep.
And how can I help other people solve that same problem?
That's it.
Right.
And people won't tell you what that is unless you document it. How are people supposed to know or pay you if they don't even know who you are? So like right now I coach people on how to create personal brands and create coaching offers through their brand to make money organically. You don't need a website. You don't need ads. You literally just need an iPhone and the Instagram app. And you can make $100,000 a month with just those two things. I've seen it happen for my students. I have two students that joined my coaching program 2 years ago. One became a millionaire in 18 months and the other one took 16 months. I've created two multimillionaires at this point through this exact method that I've done for myself. And now I basically give them a blueprint. They copy it and they run and do their own thing with their own story and their own pain points. The thing I tell my people now is, look, the things you don't want to talk about to anyone, this is your ammunition for success, right?
The mess is the message.
100%, right? God put these pains in your life so that you can turn them into purpose. And when I look back at all my catalysts, right? Being $50,000 in debt is what created my first credit business. Getting drugged is what made me turn to personal development and become an entrepreneur. So when you write down, like I have everyone that goes through my coaching program, write down on a piece of paper, their five biggest catalysts in their life that was traumatic, right? But they solved that problem. You need to hone in on that. Open up Pandora's box to your audience, to all your deepest, darkest insecurities. That is how you build a brand. That is how you gain trust. If I just posted Lamborghinis and jets all day, everyone would think I'm an asshole. But if I post all that and then I constantly remind you of where I came from, now they expect me to get them to that point.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, and they're able to relate to me. If you're unrelatable and you're just this guy jet setting, no one's gonna be able to confidently say, hey man, how are you? Or reach out and ask you questions because they feel like you're just so far in outer space compared to them. But if I'm constantly showing, guys, this is my bank account 4 years ago. This is me getting drugged. This is me getting assaulted. They're like, holy shit, I've been assaulted. I've been drugged. Right. If Colin can do it, he can teach me how to get there because he's done it for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I talk about my losses as well.
100%.
You got to be authentic.
You have to.
I've taken many losses and I talk about them publicly. I talk about all the Bitcoin I've lost. I've been hacked. I've been stolen. I've invested into Ponzi's. I got wiped out in market cycles. It's important. So give us the masterclass.
Yeah.
So one thing is you solved the problem for yourself, credit, and you taught others credit.
Yeah.
And then you taught yourself how to travel on points. So you taught that. Then you figured out how to build a personal brand and sell off that. So now you're teaching that.
Correct.
You've been super into health and fitness. You said you quit partying and started just working out.
Starting
and
a supplement company.
And now you're now you're teaching that.
Yeah.
So where does somebody start? So somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh my God, I'm like you. I hate what I do. I'm broke. I thought I needed a bunch of money to make money. Maybe I don't. What's their first step?
Yeah. So your first step is just talk about your problems, right? Everyone has problems in life. And if you could solve someone's problem, you'll get paid in the proportion of the size of the problem. So if you have big problems, you're set. And if you can solve that for other people. But the most important thing you need to do is you need to get comfortable speaking online. You need to be comfortable getting on Instagram and posting and voicing your opinion to other people. Every single person that signs up that's very new to my program, they usually have an Instagram that has like 250 family and friends following them. And the first question they always ask, Colin, should I just start a new Instagram for this new life I'm creating?
Yeah.
Say, absolutely not.
I'm gonna say full disclaimer.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
But why?
Because I was embarrassed.
Exactly.
I was embarrassed.
When you get big enough, they find you anyway. You know?
So I started my YouTube channel and I didn't tell anybody I knew. I've told you my story. I was scared to make YouTube videos.
Yep.
So I didn't tell anybody I was making videos. And then I knew I wanted to start posting on Instagram, and I had an Instagram, I don't know, 1,500 people, 2,000 people following me.
Yep.
But I'm like, I can't talk about this to them. So I actually created a brand new Instagram account.
Yep.
I did that. Now, I knew that if I was just starting, people were going to talk down. Like, oh, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Look how lame you look, right?
Yep.
Which you do look lame because you suck in the beginning.
Yes.
But now people are like, oh my gosh, Mark, I just came across you. I had no idea. And now I'm at this pedestal.
Yes.
So I did do that. Yep. So full disclaimer, I did. But anyway, keep going.
It would have taken you much less time to get to where you're
at. For sure.
You didn't do that.
For sure.
Right? Okay. So in the beginning, of course, there's going to be pains. It's going to be terrifying. People are going to be voicing their opinion. People are going to talk behind your back to your other friends, and they're going to be talking shit about you. But guess what? Everybody thinks that everyone's talking about them, and everyone's too worried about what that other person thinks of them. And it's just this big circle of nonsense. It doesn't do anything. So what you need to do,
and if they're not rooting for you, you don't want them following you anyway.
You have friends waiting for you at the next level anyway. And that's what's happened. My entire friend group is completely different. I don't have one friend the same from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yeah. Like, in the beginning, it's a little, oh, should I be hanging out with this person? But then you realize-
It's not just okay. I've learned over the last 5 years, it's actually very important.
Yes.
You have to continue to up, because you said earlier, your level of growth is going to be held back by your level of education.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be held back by your level of your network.
Absolutely. Your network truly is your net worth.
Yeah.
And like you said before, it's almost even more important.
Yeah, the relationship than the money capital. Point. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's give everyone a simple blueprint, right? If you were to pick up Instagram today and you were starting completely fresh, all you need to do is document your day-to-day activities, right? The best thing you could start with is your habits. Something that's super awesome about Instagram is it becomes an accountability holder for not only yourself, but for everyone else. So if I don't do it, not only am I letting myself down, I'm letting all my followers down. So the way I do Instagram stories, it's like a daily journal. It's a daily accountability holder for all of my habits, right? So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I post my supplements. Okay, this lets people know I'm awake. And it also is an engagement activity. So people are like, Colin, what supplements are those? Where do you buy them, right? These are all seeds being planted in my inbox every single morning. I get about-
Let me back up for a second.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things that you do every day, but you only post things that are relevant to the offers that you want to have. Or I guess I should ask that as a question. So let's just say, for example, you want to help people with their fitness and their health, right? So you post about fitness and health. So if I post my supplements, I post my diet, I post my workouts, then people ask me about supplements, diet, workouts.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I have a financial coaching offer, then I want to show my habits. If I wake up and I check the markets, I wake up and I check my accounts. Like, would I want to post supplements?
So you're already ahead of the game because you already know what you're good at and what you do want to pitch people.
Okay.
Right?
So you're saying if somebody's starting from scratch and
you have to document everything,
okay,
and people will tell you what they want.
So we don't. So right now I'm so new. I don't even know what offers I potentially have.
Yeah.
I'm just starting out.
You might not even have skills yet.
Got
right.
It.
Let's go back to me in 2019, right? Right after I quit my job. All I knew was, okay, Gary Vaynerchuk is awesome. Grant Cardone's great. I want to learn about real estate and I want to learn about how to obtain debt.
Okay.
So I'm going to learn. And as I learn, I'm going to teach. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So if you sit down and you read a book, I want you at the end of that book to come up with 5 bullet points that you learned and just post that on your story, right? Then you maybe go on a walk later that day, whip out your phone and talk about a problem you solved in your life, right? Maybe you were super depressed 4 years ago and you got on a diet that helped you change that. Give people some advice on the 3 steps you took to get out of depression, right? And this is very easy things and you could keep adding things on as you go, but just like building a new habit, if you tomorrow overwhelm yourself and you try to do my morning routine tomorrow, that takes an hour with 5 different steps, you'd do it one day and be like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna do this. So start small. Start with 1 story post a day, right? Or maybe even one a week, right? If you've never done this before, this is going to feel like alien technology to actually put out a piece of content.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrifying. You're not going to know how to do it. So as Mark said, everyone in the beginning, they suck and you get better over time. So just stick to documenting one thing about your day every single day. And as you go, I want you to document more. Then what's going to happen is people are going to start engaging with things, right? Maybe you post your supplements. Someone's going to ask, do you like that pill? Where do I buy that? You want to eventually get to the point where you're offering free value on your stories that is changing people's lives for free. This is where everything changes.
Giving away value.
If your free content can change someone's life, they will become a lifetime customer, okay? And eventually a paid client. So when my credit tips were more valuable than the information people were paying for, that's when people were like, yo, do you have a course? So the whole goal here is change people's lives for free and then they'll become customers.
It's the law of reciprocity.
Yes.
If I give you something, you feel obligated to give me something back.
100%. And then let's keep going from here, right? So we start changing people's lives for free. They're letting us know because they're DMing us. What you need to do here is you need to nurture these people and you don't want to just pitch them on shit, right? You don't want to just be like, here's my offer, you should buy it, right? You want to start tailoring conversations around things that they have interest in. Go to their Instagram, see what's going on in their life. Maybe they just went to a restaurant. Maybe they're in your town, small talk, right? Then you're going to take that conversation and you're hopefully going to be able to move it around something that you're interested in. Or maybe if you have a course at this point, something that's around your course level, right? And as you said, I do content based around what I do sell. I do fitness coaching. I do business coaching, right? So I'm always kind of documenting things around that. When people start to get value around those subjects, I would be doing a disservice to them if I wasn't asking for permission to tell them about my program. So I say, hey man, I know you got some value about, you know, my diet thing I was posting. I actually have a program where I meet with my clients once a week for accountability calls. I customize your workout plans and I give you a macro plan to follow. If you want, let me know. I'll send you over some information about it. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be like, oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Send it over. I send over the pricing sheet. 9 times out of 10, they're going to leave me on red. Okay. This is where 99% of people mess up. They follow up, right? They DM them back. Hey man, just checking in. Did you get that message?
Why is that messing up?
So this is the problem. When you have Instagram and you're doing stories every single day, documented live for everyone to see, that dude's watching you, right? That is the follow-up. You don't need to be in the DM saying, hey man, how are you? Did you check on the pricing? Because you are constantly providing that value and changing their life for free around the things they're already interested in. They said, yes, I'm interested in the offer. Send it over. You send it over. Now they're leaving you on red and they know that they should be taking action. And
it's
now
kind of, it's kind of like, I need to think about it.
Yeah.
Now so you need to think about it. So then typically on a phone call, they'd say, I need to think about it. And you'd say, well, what more do you need to think of? And then you try to give them more. This is like, I need to think about it. They leave you on red. And then you just, instead now, of engaging, you just
now you kill them with consistency.
Right.
They already know that the stuff that you're talking about has changed their life. They need more of it. But something, you know, they're having that those second guesses. You can now kill them with consistency until they capitulate, right? And then what I do, this is the final nail on the coffin, is I will whip out my story, right? And if I'm talking about motivation, problems that I've solved in my life, I'm talking directly to that guy that left me on red, right? There's 10,000 people watch my story, but I'm only talking to one dude.
Yeah.
And so I'll talk directly as if I'm talking to that guy, and I'll say something like this. Guys, action takers are the money makers, right? If you sit in indecision and inaction, nothing's ever going to get done. And I'm reaching everyone, but really that guy's like, yeah. Is he talking to me?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I do that 4 or 5 times in a row. He DMs me. Hey, brother, send over the 1 month pricing. Send over the link. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Right?
I never followed up. All I did was follow up to everyone, preaching what I know works and has changed my life, offering that free value that changes people's lives every single day. No calls, no sales. I don't have a sales team. I don't get on 20-minute calls. I close $7,500 to $20,000 products with a link in the DM.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Yeah, it's powerful. What it does is it nurtures and pre-sells them before you get on. What most people do is they create intrigue and then get someone on the phone and then they have to close it. Here's what it is and here's why you want it and here's how it solves your problem and et cetera. Whereas you're sort of like pre-framing it before they even get on the call.
Yeah, and we're literally documenting the program every day. I'm living the program that I teach you. So like, this is how bad life was. This is how good it is now. I don't talk about the middle because if you go on my content, that is the middle. Yeah. You can scroll down. You can see me quit my job. You can see me in the gym every single week. You can see me reading, leveling up every day with the books, right? The story quote. I'm interpreting how that quote's been applicable into my life. And every day people are watching the credibility build. So when someone wants to investigate me, they can just scroll down in my feed. They don't need a sales call. Yeah. They see I live this life for real every day. I'm not the kind of guy that posts one story and then it deletes in 24 hours. Hours and I post one more. No, my stories are 24/7 basically until I go to bed. When I wake up, I start again. And so this is a very different kind of way to do sales. It's completely organic. This is the only way I've ever known that works for me. I run zero ads, but this works. Like, it's just one or the other, right? You're going to run ads. You're probably not going to post too much. Maybe you have a team manage everything, or you actually live this lifestyle and you're living for a living and you are the content every single day.
Now, what I love about it is, one, when you started, and then it seems like you've come full circle, because when you started, it was super simple. Yeah. It was like, I'm going to just talk about it on Instagram, and I guess I'll just create an private Instagram account.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't have like Circle or School or whatever community.
Yep.
I don't have ClickFunnels. Yep. I don't know. Instagram community. It was super simple.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people build this barrier for themselves. Like, well, I can't start because I don't have all these things.
Sure.
There's a book I read decades ago, changed my life. It's called Ready, Fire, Aim, Michael Masterson. And he talks about just get ready and then just fire and you can aim later.
Yeah.
And he talks about how everyone's so worried about, do I have the right corporation? And what about my business name? And what about my logo? And it's like, do you have any sales?
Yeah.
Like, just go there. So the simplicity of like, you don't need anything, just Instagram private, just do that. But then you did, through some of your other programs, your leveraged, et cetera.
Sure.
Then you went into paid ads and you went into webinars and you went into funnels and you did lead magnets. And that worked. You made money.
Yeah.
And now you've come back full circle to like, I don't need none of that.
Yeah.
All I am is just, here's Instagram, here's DM, and that's it.
That's it, man. For me, it's just always been the most natural, right? The most organic, and it feels right. Right. Some people are going to have an edge in ads. Some people love ads, right? It just feels normal to them. I just go for what feels natural and that I can do most long term, right? I'm trying to do this like this is a product and a service that I can happily say I can do for the next 10 years, right? I'm always going to be doing fitness. I love health and I've built a personal brand for the past 5 years. So it's like I'm only going to be continuing to get better at these things.
Yeah.
So if I can just teach this, it's basically, once again, living life for a living. This is what I do all day, every day, regardless of making money or not. I would always share what's working for me, what I'm interested in, even if I wasn't getting paid. So like, if you can align your business interests to things that you have passion on and you would do if you didn't even get a paycheck, that's really when I think you start truly living a dream life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my coaching program, I call it the Ikigai. You've probably heard of that. It's like the Japanese, it's a concentrated circle. So it's like, what am I good at?
Yeah, I've seen this.
What do I like doing?
Yep.
What can I get paid for, right? Yep. And you have to kind of find where those overlap.
Correct.
So like, I love surfing.
Yeah.
I love riding dirt bikes. No one's going to pay me to do those things.
Unless you go pro.
Right. I'm too old and I'm not good enough to do that. Right. So like, but I'm just saying, so like, those are things I'm passionate about, but I can't really get paid. Now I could get paid for all these things, but I'm not passionate about those things.
Yeah.
Then the last one is, what does the world need? Mm. So it's like, I want the overlap of those four things.
For sure.
And so to your point, you said that you asked people to write down all the problems they've solved for themselves. That's a good place. Yeah. What have I solved for myself that I could have other people solve? And you can kind of start there, but like, maybe you just love baking. Mm-hmm. And you could just document baking, I suppose. And people might ask you, what are those recipes?
100%. You can do a YouTube on baking.
You might help people do mortgage loans, and you might start talking about the different types of loans, and someone might reach out to you and ask you how they can qualify for that type of a loan.
There's a dude that is obsessed with Smurfs. You know Smurfs?
Yeah.
He made a YouTube channel talking about Smurfs. He makes 80 grand a year, right? Just talking about Smurfs, right? You can literally make money doing whatever weird ass passion you have.
My younger brother, he's 16 years younger than me. He makes his living selling Pokemon cards.
There you go. It's a perfect example.
No joke.
Guys, the internet.
That wasn't on my like career card when I was younger. Yeah.
The internet changed everything. Yeah. Like there will never be, the smartphone came out in 2009 and you could argue that it ruined a lot of things. But I mean, for people that are living out their dream passion right now, you ask them, would this be possible without the smartphone? And most people would say no.
Now, what about, you use the word passion.
Yeah.
I've talked a lot about like living your passion, chasing your passion, things like that, which I think is important. But I had to kind of go back and admit to my coaching group that I think I misled a lot of them because a lot of people, and actually Alex Ramosi talked about this recently, you don't find your passion. You develop your passion. Yeah. So you have to do things to figure out what you like and you don't like. And eventually you sort of figure that out. So I'm curious what your advice is to people who are like, well, I don't know. I need to follow my passion, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what I should do. And so now they're stuck in analysis paralysis because they don't know what they should do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
For sure. A lot of people argue, and I see this on Twitter a lot. It's like, get rich first, then find your passion. Right. So for me, you know, if I didn't have, I kind of got really lucky having the, you know, the alignment of, I wanted to travel the world. How do I do that? Oh, credit is a vehicle. And I also, you know, was pretty good at credit. So it all lined up perfect.
But it didn't. You were chasing something you wanted to solve for yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I would just say, I mean, for anyone that's kind of stuck is you got to do what I did. You have to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, right? I failed at 5 businesses before I got to credit. Okay. And the only reason I got there is because I failed at all 5 of them. So like your biggest downfalls most of the time turn into your biggest opportunity. And so you just have to not be afraid to fail. And as long as you don't quit, you really don't fail. You just accumulate lessons and experiences that can be put to use for later things in life.
Except, I agree with that. There's a saying, you see it typically like with a lion's face, and it says, I don't lose, I either win or I learn.
Yeah.
So if you break that down, I learned, one of my personal development gurus, Brian Tracy, gave me the definition of what smart and stupid is.
Yeah.
And he said that stupid is things that get you further from your goals and smart is things that take you closer to your goals. So one, you have to figure out what your goals are. But if I either win or I learn, so like when you did these different businesses, the credit or whatever, right? Like you failed at those.
Yeah.
But even though you failed, they got you closer to where you wanted to go.
Yes.
Let's say that you try to get better at the ADP thing and you failed at that. That wouldn't have gotten you closer to where you wanted to go. Yeah, right? Because you weren't building skills there that you wanted to take you over here.
On the path. Right?
On the path.
The right path. Correct.
That's exactly right. So we want to, failing is all part of it. We have to fail, but we want to fail smart, which is fail in ways that gets us closer to our eventual goal.
Correct. If you want to be an entrepreneur and you're failing constantly in 9-to-5s, you're screwed.
Right.
But if you get on the path of entrepreneurship and you try a bunch of startups and fail and fail and fail, eventually you'll probably have one that works on the entrepreneurship path, which was the end goal that you wanted to get to.
Yeah, exactly. So the first step then, well, it doesn't have to be a first step. It's like, just start going, just start doing something.
Yep.
I talk about all the time, action leads to clarity.
Yep.
So I could just sit here forever and not be sure which way to go. But once I start going, then I can decide if I want to continue that path or go somewhere else.
And inaction leads to fear and doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can only improve something that's in action.
Yep.
Like if I wanted to teach you, well, maybe we're going to go surf here after this. Only if you're already in the water surfing can I help you improve. I can't help you improve surfing right now here at this table.
No.
Right? And so you have to get going in action, and then you can start to improve off of that.
100%.
Let's pivot to another topic before we wrap this thing up. One that's important for both of us. You coach it, I don't, but I live it. And that's health.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about disrupting markets, the five legacy markets that I want to disrupt, health being one of them.
Yeah.
Everything we've learned about health is wrong. I say everything we've learned about money is wrong, but everything we've learned about health is wrong. We were both at a Luke Belmar's event in Spain. Gary Brecka talked.
Yep.
And I remember, and you've been talking about Gary Brecka for a long time. Yep. I remember he at that talk, he said that if I wanted to write somebody a prescription to have diabetes, I would literally go to the diabetes website and give them the diet they recommend. Like, that's what he said.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So like everything we've learned about health is wrong. And you live a pretty unconventional life when it comes to health, as I do I, which to the common person, and they want to, what are you doing? You're doing it all wrong. And they're 300 pounds, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about health? Like, what are your tips for for what you do and like how people should think through that?
Stop listening to mainstream media and doctors. Cause everything like money, right? You always preach everything we learned about money is wrong. Everything we learned about everything is wrong.
Yeah.
Health included. So for me, it was really kind of experimenting. I used to be pre-diabetic. I had hyperglycemia. I had overactive bladder syndrome, all these things caused by high fructose corn syrup, dyes in my food, seed oils, processed milk, and it ruined my life, literally. Mm-hmm. I had cystic acne. I was tired all the time. I felt horrible. My parents couldn't figure it out. They would send me to the nurse's office and they would give me Coca-Cola and Starburst to basically pump my blood sugar back up.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was horrible. It was ruining my life. So basically my mom started doing like independent, you know, studies on her own, trying to figure out how she could regulate my blood glucose level and get me normalized. And so I replaced Fruit Loops, and I replaced all kinds of shitty cereals with steak and eggs in the morning. And just that alone changed everything. And so years later, once I had some money, I was like, oh, you know, what's this animal-based diet thing? And I started seeing it on the internet all the time. This is right around the time I came around Gary Brecka. And I hadn't really been taking care of my health. Even though I was making a bunch of money, I was, you know, in that time of sacrifice. I was like, here's my money goals. Here's my business goals. Everything else is on the back burner. And you could do that for so long, but then eventually get to a point where you're like, all right, I got to bring all this stuff up with the money, with the relationships. It all kind of has to level out. So I was like, all right, this is probably a good time to do that. And so I saw, I actually got a connection to Gary Brecka. One of my friends in Miami was like, yo, you should work with this guy. He does, you know, blood tests where you can start doing quarterly blood tests. You can look under the hood of, you know, everyone knows what's going on in their business. You don't know what the hell's going on in your body, right? You don't know where your markers are at. You don't know what your testosterone is. I had never done a blood test and never like really analyzed all my biomarkers. So I signed up, I spent $1,000. I got the cheek swab, which was a genetic testing. Mm-hmm. You only have 5 genes in your body and they never change. So whatever you were given is what you have. And if you do not supplement for your gene deficiencies, you will not be able to methylate properly forever. So this is like, you know, a lot of the root cause of anxiety, waking up in the middle of the night, gasping for air, having low energy. It's all just small gene deficiencies that if you just supplemented with one organic compound can literally make you methylate properly and feel normal.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a second. Wow. This is very important.
Anxiousness, depression,
all of that. And you almost forget
short-term memory.
100%. And you forget what being normal even feels like at this point because you've just dealt with this shit for so long.
Yeah.
And so I was going through a point in time where business was doing well, but it was all I could think about. I wasn't sleeping well. My health was suffering and I kind of started to realize that. And so I did these tests and I found my gene deficiencies and they're like, Colin, honestly, you have 3 out of the 5 that are in the red. This is not good, right? You're on the lower side of people with gene health problems. So I was like, shit, here's the supplements you need to supplement with. Here's where your testosterone is. I was at a 330. Out of, you know, at a normal 25-year-old age, I should have at least like an 800. And they're like, this is very low. I want you to take vitamin D. I want you to get on these peptides here and basically start eating more steak. And they told me everything to do and I just followed it. A quarter later, I get my blood test back. Highest levels ever, like best levels for everything. Testosterone went to 1100. Wow. I was sleeping incredible. energy's great. I'm retaining my skin color better. Like, I'm tan all the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, it's just the simple test that you took and then supplementing with your deficiencies is what's changed everything, and your diet. So removing the seed oils, right? Any high fructose corn syrup, any processed foods, yep. Just not eating things in packages, drinking better water. I was drinking tap water in Miami. I was using fluoride toothpaste, Colgate, Crest.
Yeah.
Just removing this stuff and replacing it with spring water, toothpaste without fluoride, and no packaged good food, no chips, no Doritos. Yeah,
nothing
no,
with labels.
Yeah, no Oreos, none of that. And just sticking to what I actually was doing when I was young, when my mom fixed that problem, just steak, eggs, avocado, right? And then I started to learn, oh, there's a whole diet name for this. It's a category. It's called animal-based diet, where basically you eat organic fruit, you eat red meat, you eat raw dairy, not processed dairy or pasteurized dairy, because that eliminates all the proteins. It wrecks your stomach microbiome. And if you do raw dairy, that's actually like medicine. It helps your gut and it repairs your gut and it makes a healthy gut bacteria in your body so you can regulate your digestive system. Yep. So just by doing all the things I just mentioned, literally completely changed my life. And once you go from feeling like shit all the time and then going to feeling normal, you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that I was missing out on this for the past 10 years. So you just want to do more of whatever you just did.
Yeah.
And that's when I really just started to dive down even deeper rabbit holes, figuring out where can I buy the highest quality steaks? Where can I get raw dairy? What farm do I go to? Wow, there's something called the Superhuman Protocol where you can actually increase the oxygen in your body, and the presence of oxygen is the absence of disease. So if I always have healthy levels of oxygen, my cells are gonna be thriving, my organs are gonna be thriving, I'm not gonna get sick as much, better for longevity. So it just really just opened up Pandora's box to this whole lifestyle of longevity and health, and it's changed my life.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
A year ago or whatever, one of my buddies unfortunately got divorced, and he was overweight, and he wasn't obese, but he was overweight. And yeah. I remember seeing him a couple months later, and I was like, dang, man, you're looking good. You've lost a lot of weight. He's like, man, I was so depressed and stressed out that I couldn't eat really for a week or two, and I lost weight. And when I looked, he's like, I didn't think I was overweight. He's like, but after not being stressed out and not eating for a couple weeks, I looked in the mirror and I realized how much weight I had lost. And then I was like, well, dang, I want to continue this. And he continued to get in shape. Yeah. So he didn't realize he was overweight until he lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he's like, dang, now yes. I'll continue this path.
Sure.
And that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, you don't realize how bad you feel until you feel better.
100%.
I remember I've always been into fitness, but not dialed in on the seed oils and at that level. Mm-hmm. And I remember, now it's been at least a dozen years ago, I read Tim Ferriss's book, Tools of Titans.
Oh yeah.
And they're talking about how you can get this like clean energy, and it's like this brain fog gets lifted and you have this sharp, crisp thinking. I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And they was talking about when you get into the state of ketosis, and you get into the state of ketosis through intermittent fasting. And I was like, that's what I want.
Sure.
And so I was like, all right, I could do, so I learned about bulletproof coffee
yeah.
and that'll help me get into that state. And I was like, dang, but I love breakfast. And breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I don't know if I could do this, but I'm like, I can do anything for 2 weeks. I'm going to do it for 2 weeks and I'll see how I feel. Yep. And that was a dozen years ago and I'm still drinking it right now.
Every day for 12 years now?
I never wanted to go back. I mean, once in a while on a weekend, sure, I'm traveling, whatever, breakfast. Right? But yeah, for the most part, you know, 95% of the days since for the last 12 years. But then I felt so good for that whole part. And then I would eat lunch and then all of a sudden, boom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well now I got to figure that part out.
Yep.
So what the heck am I eating for lunch?
Sure.
And like each one, sort of like you, each step was like, okay, well, how can I optimize that better, 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 better?
Absolutely.
And now I've pretty much gone down pretty much the full animal path. I do eat some carbs. I told you I'm working with this like biohacker guy now, and he's helping me optimize for a goal I have in August. So he has me eating. I told him what I like to eat.
Sure.
I'm like you probably like, I just want to eat the same thing every day. I don't want to have a bunch of decisions in my life.
No.
I try to think about what I need to do in my life one time, set a system in place. So I don't have to think about it again. So it's like, I want a pound of hamburger meat at lunch and I want a pound of steak at dinner.
We do the same thing.
Like, and I just want that every day.
Yep.
And, so he has me, interesting enough, he has me eating carbs, but only at dinner. So I'm eating two meals a day.
Okay.
I'm eating,
interesting.
I'm eating either steak or hamburger meat. That's what I told him I like to eat. Also he says chicken thighs. He's having me mix in raw cheese, eggs.
Yep.
So you saw the other day, I ate the eggs raw.
You slonkers.
For the first time ever.
It back. It was good.
And, I don't like gross stuff. I'm not an adventurous eater. I don't even like eggs all that much. I don't eat a lot of sushi.
Yeah.
I'm basic. Yep. So I was pretty afraid of doing it, but it was easy and there's almost no aftertaste.
And there's no, stomach feeling of being full.
Yeah.
Like you feel very light.
Yeah, so I just grabbed two eggs. So he wants me to add 3 to 5 eggs per meal, but I can't cook that many eggs. I just shoot them. So we're doing that. So raw cheese, raw yogurt or kefir, with a little bit of fruit, the meat, and then at dinner, adding in about a half a pound of either sweet potatoes or white rice.
What about fermented food? You mentioned you are doing kefir or kefir. Also, I would recommend
and yogurt.
Fermented pickles and sauerkraut are incredible for your gut microbiome.
Yeah.
So if you can add a fermented food, and this is for everyone, if you could just do one fermented food in every single meal, your gut is going to love that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Some of it I wonder is like, how far out on the spectrum does this stuff even matter, right? So like everything in life has a cost benefit analysis.
Sure.
So like, for example, he said, don't eat leftovers. All the food has to be eaten within a few hours of cooking it because it starts to lose too much nutrients.
Mm.
Okay. I believe that to be true. That's not super practical for me.
Yeah.
So how much nutrients does it really lose? What's the benefit, the trade-off? Because like I need to cook it last night and eat it for lunch today kind of a thing. So like some of these things are like, how much are we tweaking little things and how much does that really matter?
I say the 80-20 rule, right?
He said that, eating the food in sequence is important. So eat my protein first.
Okay.
Then you eat the fats.
Wow.
And then you eat the carbs.
Wow.
And I love eating and everything in one bite.
Me too.
So anyway, there's that. Also not drinking
alcohol.
No, not drinking water while you're eating meals.
I've heard of that too.
Don't drink while you eat.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't water down the digestive process.
Yes. Yep.
He's big into the hydrogen water. He wants me to drink hydrogen water.
Yep.
And I know you do that.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
He sent me the thing of where I can get the hydrogen water, and it took me to a website, and I saw Gary Brecka's picture on there.
Echo Go.
Maybe it was, you know, and you can buy the machine.
Yeah.
But like it reminded me of this, there was this whole alkaline water movement. You can buy this Kangen machine.
I remember. I had one.
I had one too. It was like $5,000 and I had this Kangen machine. But after a while, I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I really believe in that, and I don't drink alkaline water anymore.
Yeah.
I believe in the pH neutral, so the spring water for the pH neutral.
That's all you need.
But I don't need 9 pH, and like it goes in your stomach acid anyway. So when I all of a sudden I see the hydrogen machine with his picture, I'm like, this kind of sounds like the alkaline water. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think just like you said, I mean, you could go down the rabbit hole forever with these things, right? But if you can just get to a basic level of understanding of all of it and stick to it right 80% of the time and have 20% of messing up or willingly having a little fun, having a little alcohol, having a little seed oils with a cheeseburger, right? We got to live our lives. And I think, honestly, I used to do a test where I'd go for like 6 months never breaking the diet. And then I'd go out to eat and I'd have one cheeseburger, or I'd have seed oil contaminate my food just a little bit. I'd wake up the next day with a throat sore. I was sick. So now I literally will intentionally eat a little bit of seed oils on the weekends, right? I won't tell the chef to, you know, cook everything the right way, whatever. I'll just let them do their thing. And now it's like, you know, it's almost better that way. Your body is more adjusted. We're supposed to be resilient. You know, we got to build some kind of layer for those things.
Yeah.
So now I kind of just do the 80-20 rule with everything I do.
Yeah.
And yeah, today I didn't have my hydrogen water. I have it with me, but I just didn't have it. Yeah. So I'm not a psychopath. I think it kind of ruins your life when you do that stuff. Plus everyone else is like, bro, like what? Like, let's just fucking eat and have a good time.
I'm like an 80-20 rule too, but I can tell you, you know, I was walking around about 15%, 12 to 15% body fat.
Yep.
And my wife and daughter said we should do this 75 hard start this year.
I was going to ask you about this.
I got about 2 weeks into it and I'm like, I was working until 9 o'clock at night, go home, eat dinner. Then I got to go walk for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just too busy for that.
Yeah.
But I'm not claiming I'm doing it. Out of the last, it's been 50 days now. I think there's been 4 days I haven't got the second workout. So technically I failed, but I've stuck with no alcohol.
Yep.
I've stuck with the reading 10 pages every day.
Good.
I've stuck with everything else. So last night we went to dinner with Carlton and those guys. Everyone's having wine.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh man, I want to have some wine. But I didn't because I'm like, I'm going to stick with it. But what my point, and then it says you're supposed to stick to a diet. It's whatever diet you want. So my goal was just no processed food.
Yep.
So instead of 80-20, just none. And dude, that's dropped me from 14-15% down to almost 11-12% body fat. Just shaving that out.
Amazing.
That was pretty good.
Alcohol is a detriment.
Not the alcohol. No. I don't drink a lot of alcohol. Yeah. And if I drink, I don't drink any beer. If I drink alcohol, it's just like tequila. But no, I think it's the 20% of processed food.
For sure. Yeah.
I think just cutting that out was what made a big difference.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
So that's been pretty interesting, but it's definitely fun to tweak on. Last thing I want to talk about is just morning routine real quick.
Yeah.
So, one, I believe that, humans need routine.
Yeah.
We have to have structure and discipline.
Yep.
People that don't have that, then they have no bearing in their life. One of the ways that we can improve, the book written, Power of Habit, talks about habit stacking. So find one thing in your life you do religiously. Brush your teeth in the morning, add a habit onto that, and you can stack. So it's super important. That being said, I think it also can get taken way too far. Alex Ramosi's like, this hour and a half morning routine is ridiculous. Just get up and work kind of a thing. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle. So I wake up, I make my coffee, I do a little bit of breath work, I do my push-ups, I read the Bible, and then I go to the gym.
Yep.
So it's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You have an hour and a half.
An hour. I can get it done a little faster, but I'm just taking my good old time, it's an hour.
Do you think you could just take 45 minutes and put that back into your work and be more productive or get further ahead in your business?
Maybe, but I'm at the point where
go ahead and finish that.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I have so much peace in this routine and it just sets my day up in such a high vibration state. When I just spend an hour and a half, the more time I spend alone in the morning without outside world distractions, the better I operate when I do enter the outside world. So my most important thing is do not let the outside world in for the first 2 hours of every day, no matter what. And I never set an alarm clock.
Meaning no social media, no social media, email.
No texting, nothing. Yeah. I keep my phone on silent. The only thing I do on my phone is I put on my meditation music. So for the first 2 hours of every morning, when I'm at home, it's just blasting throughout my house. High frequency meditation music, very calming. I wake up, the first thing I do is I hydrate, I do my hydrogen water, have a little bit of salt. I sit down, I light a candle, and I open up my notebook. And I do the same notebook practice for the past 5 years.
So within 5 or 10 minutes of waking?
Yeah, within 5 or 10 minutes of waking. Every day since I quit my job, I've done this routine without fail. Even if I'm traveling, it always gets done. And there's modifications, of course. Sometimes I have to do it on an airplane, but I always do a version of this. So I sit down, I open my notebook, I write down a power list. So 5 things I need to take action on for that day that I can control. I can't control if Susie's going to send me 20 grand, but I can control the content I'm going to put out to intrigue her to send the money, right? So things you can control, with the first thing being the most important. Then I write the 4 agreements. Have you ever read that book by Don Miguel Ruiz?
I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
I write down the 4 agreements. Then I go on the right side. I write down 10 things I'm grateful for. This is all from feeling in the moment. So if yesterday I look back on my day, right? I spoke at an event yesterday. I'm so happy and grateful now that I had the opportunity to speak in front of 85 people about something I'm passionate about, right? And I'll just go down the list. This puts me in a state of gratitude. So when you're grateful, you're going to attract more things to be grateful for. If I wake up and I'm on Twitter doom scrolling, I'm going to attract negativity. I'm going to see people getting hit by trucks, all this crazy shit.
It's crazy.
So now I'm listening to meditation music. I have a candle lit. I'm just operating in abundance right now. And I'm just going through my day by myself, not letting out the outside world in. And finally, I write a love letter to God. It used to be money. I had a horrible relationship with money my whole life. So when I realized, oh.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's how I write to God now.
Yeah, okay, good.
So if you put money on a pedestal, it is evil, but.
Not money, the love of money.
The love of money, correct. So now I've kind of, you know, I've gotten past that point in my life where I look to God first now, and that comes first in my life. That is the first character in my life. And I basically act as a servant to God for my purpose and for what he wants me to do. So that's different for everyone, right? Everyone has different beliefs, but I write a love letter to God and I talk about the things that, you know, I need to ask him for, wisdom, you know, help, strength, getting closer to him. And then I always say what I will do to repay him if he grants me those things in my life. So that's my journal activity. I close it. Then I go to my meditation room. I have a full room for meditation. I sit down, I turn on my red light, and I meditate for 10 minutes. Then I do my breath work. I have a PMF mat, which alkalizes my body. I
lay You're on a that. Psychopath.
Yeah, I lay on that. I do my 3 rounds of Wim Hof breath. Then I go outside and I do my stretching while looking at the sun.
The 3
up.
Rounds of Wim Hof breath, is that just 30 deep breaths in, no controlled hold or output, right?
30 deep breaths in, and then once you can't hold it anymore, breathe all the way in and then hold as long or 15 seconds and then 3 rounds of that. Okay. Yeah. You could just go on the Wim Hof app or look it up on YouTube. So I've been doing that every single day for 4 years now. And that has been for me the only way I know how to access peace and completely calm my mind. And I do this throughout the day. Like when I landed here, I was stressed out and I just traveled for 6 hours. So I went right down to the beach. I did 3 rounds of Wim Hof. And I entered a completely different state. Yeah. I was just back to baseline, felt normal, felt abundant. And so I use that as a tool to just eliminate stress all the time. So that right there, what I just went over is literally done every single day. After that, I go to the gym and then I sweat. So like that's all part of the routine. By the time I get home, it's around like 9:30 and then I begin my work. So that entire time, I don't let any of the outside world in, and I'm just personal.
What about at the gym though? Because now you're on your phone, you're listening to music,
at the gym, I work out with
now you're probably peeking at social media.
Sure, that's the first time where I start letting it in. Yeah,
got it.
But also something very important is I let people in on that internal state because I'm projecting every single morning my internal state out into the world. So I do a quote post. So I basically open up like Meditations by Marcus Aurelius or The Art of Living, something like that. Take a video of it. And then I'll basically give my interpretation on how that's been applicable to my life and how it's changed my life. And that gives value to people. So the first thing I do every morning is give value to the world. And then what comes in from that is usually positive. Whereas a lot of people, sometimes they let out negative things into the world first. If you can operate from a state of abundance right when you wake up and put that into the world, you're going to receive back so much love.
Love it. Love it.
And that's pretty much it.
Love it. All right. Well, I think we've gone pretty long. I think we'll end it with that. Choose your morning routine, but like have a morning routine.
Sure.
Wake up at the same time every day.
Yeah.
Don't let the outside world in for sure. For me, I've been playing around with my routine has been basically like this 20-30 minute routine. Go to the gym, come to the office. What I've been experimenting with a little bit is I'm big on having deep work blocks, scheduling like 2 hour blocks where I can just like go into deep work. Mm. I don't know if you've gotten into that, but I've been experimenting a little bit with going straight into deep work and then going to the gym.
Okay.
Because to, you know, that point before you let the world in, your mind is very clear.
Yeah.
once the world starts coming in, then the mind gets very scattered. Sure. And I found like, man, that deep work block first thing in the morning, my mind is so sharp.
Yeah.
I can get more work done. And once I've hit like 2 hours of deep work, then I can go to the gym.
Yeah.
And then I can still do more deep work later. So I've been experimenting with that a little bit, but all comes down to your energy levels and what works best for you and experimentation.
For sure.
But the principles don't change, which is one, have a routine, wake up at the same time, and then have some sort of a structure to get going.
Yep, absolutely.
Colin, so you help people build personal brands like this, you coach them through it, and you help people build health.
Physique,
yeah. So where do they find out more about that? What's that look like?
At Colin Yerkeson, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all platforms. You can find me there. Just shoot me a message.
All right, cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.